America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Congrats to the 10th caller to get through at 800-636-1067. You're winning a pair of tickets to see the Capitals and Dallas Stars Thursday, October 17th, a week from tomorrow. Capital One Arena. Tickets and the complete cap schedule are available at thefandc.com/events. Commanders getting ready for the Ravens on Sunday. The local team's got a bright future. It is time for you to plan your future as well. The exclusive sponsor of our shows, the law firm Kondorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow at this time, Luke McCaffrey will be back on the show. We had him on last week.
Nice.
Loved it. He was great. He's coming back on tomorrow, so we're excited about that to check in with him ahead of the biggest early season game the Commanders have played in many, many years. But with the Blitz ready to go, we'll cover the Ravens, the Commanders, and the NFL. So let's get started right now. Nate Davis of USA Today to start us off. Nate, Washington-Baltimore might be the most fun game of the weekend, I think, nationally. There's some big storylines now with the Jets firing their coach, Drake May debuting. But the local game is right up there.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Ravens, Commanders, and I think Cowboys and Lions are the only two games this week with teams with both of winning records. But, I mean, seeing Lamar Jackson against Jaden Daniels, who got some Lamar Jackson comparisons prior to the draft, should be a fun one, two first-place teams.
Nate, Grant and I disagree a little bit about the Ravens. I still think they're good, but a lot of that is based on, you know, track record and the fact that they keep churning this machine all along. They haven't been unbelievable this year, coming off a huge offensive total this past week, obviously. But I guess maybe this is true for a lot of the NFL, but are the Ravens are good, right?
So wait, you found this argument?
So I'm basically saying I think the Ravens are still really good, Super Bowl contender. They haven't hit the ground running yet, but I still think they're really good. And Grant's point is this year, I don't want to speak for him, but this year they haven't been great yet, so why are we crowning them? I still think they're really good, but it's based a lot on track record.
I mean, you know fundamentally that I want to agree with Grant on all arguments here.
Mm-hmm,
but
I get that.
I think the Ravens are you know, as packed in as the league is, and it doesn't appear there's any real elite power team. I kind of think the Ravens are the one that might have the chance to really – break out. And I mean, the way the offense has played the last 2 weeks, I mean, it looks like that you know, Henry and Jackson really found a way to mesh their styles, which I thought was going to be a problem from a quarterback I didn't think would want to be under center, and a running back wants to line up deep in the eye. But I think they've got scary potential. I'm a little worried, you know, about the defense right now, more so than anything. But given the multiple varied ways this offense can operate, both from a passing and running standpoint, I kind of think that they might be the scariest team in the league.
Yeah, I mean, to clarify my stance, I think they're good, not great. Like, scariest team in the league, that kind of hype, that gets thrown on them, and I'm not knocking you, but, like, I'm not there yet with them. I watched them blow a game to the Raiders, and, you know, if not for a botched special teams play, they'd be 2-3 right now. I don't know. I think they're good.
I'm not there yet elite. Either, Grant, but I'm projecting that I think that they've got maybe more high potential than anybody else, and I think that maybe this was an offense that needed a little time to kind of mix in these new parts, including 3 new starters on the O-line. Like, I don't think they're there yet. But I think that they have the potential to maybe be more dominant and more just intimidating team than even Kansas City or Detroit, whoever you like up there at the top.
Totally fair. And I also think bringing in Dean Pease to help Zach Orr is going to help a lot, actually, which was done today, something we'll be talking more about in a few minutes here on the Blitz. Extrapolating this thing out beyond the matchup this weekend that we care about, what do you make of the Jets firing Saleh? Rodgers today said, essentially, he had nothing to do with it. Do you buy that?
Yeah, I've been talking about this with some colleagues today. You know, watched Rodgers' full interview on McAfee. I mean, either you're going to take the guy at his word or you're not. So I mean, it's just kind of a, you know, how do you come down on that one? I mean, I found takeaway on that is that there wasn't kind of the usual defense of Nathaniel Hackett, and, you know, we'll get this, you know, figured out. He's the guy. I mean, he did seem pretty open to changes on offense. Again, you know, whether you believe him or not, but I mean, that has been kind of was probably going to be the more material narrative here, giving that they're not going to change coaches on staff. But Jeff Ulbrich said yesterday that they're willing to change roles, and they've got Todd Downing there, passing coordinator, former offensive, and I think most people agree that this offense needs to evolve. So I'm kind of curious how they operate with that moving forward. And it seems like Rodgers is open to the changes for a team that's got to, you know, figure things out here in a hurry.
Nate, Buffalo dropped a couple straight here after a pretty impressive start. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, you know, I'm seeing a team that maybe got a little overhyped on the initial wins there, and you know, and maybe, you know, that's the way that the Ravens steamrolled them is maybe why I've got a little bit of a bend towards Baltimore right now. But you know, they need Shakir back. That's part of it. I mean, they really did a good job on defense up until recently, despite missing a couple guys over there. I mean, Monday night's going to be an interesting litmus test for both the Bills and the Jets. You know, winner's going to be in first place afterward, despite the issues on both sides. And certainly, you know, you got to wonder about Josh Allen. I mean, he's had two really poor games here in a row. You know, is that going to be a dark horse team that maybe goes after Devontae Adams as well? Because it really does seem like maybe they do need that extra receiver. Unless Shakir is really the guy, which I'm not sure we're ready to really crown him in that wide receiver one role yet.
Good info as always, Nate. We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Nate.
Thanks.
Be good. Let's dive deeper into Baltimore's 3-2 team. Our guy Bobby Trossett, who covers the Ravens and all things Baltimore sports up in Baltimore. You should check him out on social if you aren't already at Bobby Baltimore. So let's start with this, Bobby. How good are the Ravens, in your opinion, through 5 weeks?
Oh, still developing. That's still certainly a question. I just saw seconds ago Roquan was meeting with reporters in a scrum, and he was asked about Jaden, and he was quoted for saying he hasn't seen a defense like ours. Well, I'll tell you what, that's a confident thing to say about a pass defense that has been absolutely atrocious, and I love Roquan. I really do. And who knows? They just brought in Dean Pease to help out the young Zach Orr, who's the youngest DC in the league, or one of, at 32. But I tell you guys, I'm sure you've seen some of the highlights and whatnot. It has not been pretty on the back end, and it's very similar to 2 years ago when Mike McDonald was just getting his start after a one-year internship at college with Jim in Michigan.
Well, what do you think bringing Dean Pease back in to be a second set of eyes actually does? Do you think it's tangible this week, Bobby, or is it going to take a few weeks to kind of see his impact?
I'm sure the latter. He's already there. The news came out this morning, and then he was seen at practice, you know, not long after. 75, was in Baltimore as the DC from 12 to 17, if I'm not mistaken. That was before my time when I was here. But the guy's got a wealth of knowledge, a ton of different experience. And I'm sure Zach's just, you know, Rex Ryan's been saying this a lot with his Ravens coverage. And I'll lean on him here. I mean, he's coaching from a coaching out of a book, you know, and I think that sort of lends to what we've been seeing. And he just seems a little, I'm sure he's a little overwhelmed. He didn't have the experience that Mike was able to get, albeit only a year at Michigan. And it's hard to simulate, you know, in preseason. It's hard to simulate throughout the offseason, especially when you have just an absolute onslaught the way they have the first 5 weeks. You know, you open in Kansas City with all the emotions and the hangover coming from last January, and then you kind of let that streak into week two and Vegas and Gardner Minshew, who just got benched finally, kind of spoils your home opener. And then from there, you go to Dallas and you almost cough up a historic lead. But since then, it's been, you know, all brakes or, you know, all gas, no brakes, to quote Robert Saleh. And they're starting to find their footing. But defensively, I would not be surprised if it's a shootout like many are expecting Sunday.
Yeah, I was wondering, is the defensive issue oars? I mean, like, what are the biggest problems and how do they fix them, in your opinion, to dive deeper into that?
Yeah, I always like to kind of make sure that we're paying attention to what happened last year. I mean, it wasn't Philly after their 2022 Super Bowl run, but, you know, losing Mike Mack, I think, hurt the fan base a lot and maybe even hurt the building because of how much of a whiz kid he was. And I think you saw that with how the league responded to, you know, during the hiring cycle and whatnot. Seattle wasn't the only one that was kind of chasing after him. And so that's the headliner. But then from a staffing standpoint underneath him, you know, you lost Anthony Weaver to go be the DC in Miami. Dernard Wilson, who a lot of people think is a future head coach, he goes to Tennessee as a DC. And there's other staff members who lost, not to mention Jadeveon Clowney, who had 9.5 sacks out of nowhere, a career year on the other side of 30. You lose Patrick Queen, the middle part of your defense. And Geno Stone, who was somebody that developed and had, you know, 7 or 8 interceptions last year. That's to be talked about, you know. So as much as we want to kind of point the finger at the young gun, I think there's been just as much of a lack of execution on all three levels, particularly on that back end, which got absolutely torched by Joe Burrow and how surgical he is in the pocket with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins kind of as the beneficiary.
Let's go to this offense here in Baltimore. Obviously, it's a juggernaut. We're familiar with that. We kind of are mirror images of each other here, Bobby, doing the Spider-Man meme at this point with athletic quarterbacks and, you know, playmakers. Sort of, it's a different guy every week. What are the strengths right now? I think some of them are obvious, but what are maybe the relative weaknesses for this Baltimore offense at this point?
Oof, boy, in recent weeks, it's really just, there's been so much focus. They've been putting points up on the board. It's been so much of a focus on the defensive side of the ball that, in terms of weaknesses, they haven't reared their ugly head yet. I mean, maybe on the outside of Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, you know, where are you going to get your production? But honestly, when you have the deepest tight end room, I would argue, in the entire league, with Mark Andrews not even coming on yet, I just don't think it's magnified as much, your subpar wide receiver room, you know? And like, that's where Todd Monken has just used these multiple tight end sets to his advantage. You know, all three Sunday in Cincinnati were involved. I'm talking about Mark Andrews. I'm talking about Isaiah Likely and Charlie Kohler, who a lot of people probably never even heard of outside of Baltimore. Like, all three of these guys, I think, again, the subpar wide receiver room is not magnified as much when you have those three. And I haven't even mentioned, you know, the future Hall of Famer and Derrick Henry, who's opened up this offense. I think a lot of us feel in Baltimore that he puts them over the top. And, you know, could they have won that AFC title game last year? Of course, comes down to a couple plays. But they just give them a dynamic, a blend, a certain level of explosion, and obviously like a pick your poison too. And since he found that out, you know, all of a sudden through four quarters, they're stacking the box really well. They're playing Derrick really well. I think he had 41 or 42 yards going into overtime. Finishes with 92 because that 51-yard burst. So that's sort of the pick-your-poison mentality that they're rolling with right now. Lamar is protecting the football, really kind of being the John Stockton of this team, I think, and being a distributor. And for the first time in his career, he's got the Shaquille O'Neal to his Kobe.
Bobby, we appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, I can't wait to talk to you on Friday. Grant, Danny, good to hear from you. And have a great week, guys.
You too, pal.
See you, bud. There's Bobby Trossett, Bobby Baltimore. I want to check him out on social. All right, let's keep it moving. Our own Eric Bickle this brand new upstart program.
Look at these guys.
I think they're a couple months in now. The Sports Junkies.
There's a good formula there.
Listen to them in the morning. We're worried about them, so we need to get some people to start listening to them. You know what I mean?
They're trying to build momentum.
Look, it's hard when you start out, EB.
Do you break in?
It's a grind. We're hopefully one day we'll get there.
You will. What can we make Drab do next week?
Dude, that's the grossest thing we've ever done.
That was disgusting. I will be honest with you. Danny and I have both not seen it yet. I don't know if that's going to change.
I love you guys. I saw the premise. I saw some lead up. And I said, okay, I'm pulling the ripcord. I'm popping smoke. I can't.
I can't.
I just can't.
And by the way, I'm changing diapers still. And I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, what Valdez and Mike Marr did was reprehensible. what Drab did was less bad, as far as I'm concerned.
If you need any more details than that, go search on All Junkies.
Yeah, we literally can't say anymore because there are rules that govern that sort of thing.
Go to Facebook. I think it's literally between Facebook and Instagram and everything. I think it's got over 100,000 views.
That does not surprise me.
Oh, yeah.
People like seeing crazy things done. Speaking of crazy,
that fits.
You got to be feeling pretty good right now, EB. The locals are not only winning, they're dominating, and they're good.
Yeah, I guess they're good. I know Jaden's good. I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to get over my skis on Jaden and get, beyond our – I think he's going to be one of the all-time greats. I'm just going to be honest with you.
All-time greats.
Here's why. You have to make the inevitable comparison to RG3 because it's the last quarterback that came on the scene and burst on the scene and had a somewhat of a similar style. But Robert was – in a lot of ways, a fraud, right? He was a one-trick pony, little read option, three plays, run him over and over, took the league by storm. And if he hadn't gotten hurt, he would have had a nice career. This guy's different. This guy is doing the things that I was in denial of about Robert. This guy's throwing guys open. This guy's anticipating where he needs to be and throwing it before they're looking. He's making progressions. He's careful with the football. And then, by the way, if the offensive line, which is way better than anybody ever thought, actually breaks down, he can just take off and, run for 40 if he wants. He's got the work ethic. He's beaten the players. He's beaten Bobby Wagner there to the facility by an hour. He's there at 4 a.m. Like, this kid, what does he not have? I guess the only thing he doesn't have is, the body of a Greek god. Other than that, he's got it all. So I don't see why he can't be one of the all-time greats.
So you're no longer worried though about the frame, because that would be my immediate.
That's
answer
what I'm worried about, man.
I had three big concerns.
That's a given. I stipulate to that.
Yeah. Okay.
I can't argue that. Other than I've already seen strides in him trying to reduce the amount of hits he's taken. I think we've all seen that. I stipulate to that. But that's the weakness. Other than that, I think he's got all the intangibles. He's got the acumen. He's got the poise is unreal. The confidence and then the post-game humility. He's got everything that you could be in control of, right? Can't control your frame. So it is what it is. Now, here's the other part of the equation, though. So I'm willing to get over my skis and praise him and say, yeah, you know what? This guy's way better than I even thought. Like, he's it. I don't know about the defense, though. I'm confused by the defense because in the first 2 weeks, I thought it was the worst defense I've ever seen. And I've seen a lot of bad ones here. And now all of a sudden they're bucking up and they're, getting pressure from their ends. And Frankie Louvu looks like he's playing like Micah Parsons and, our back end is playing, okay enough. So I'm confused. I know Jaden's good. I know our offense is good. I'm just not sure about the defense.
How do you see this weekend going against Baltimore?
Well, I mean, I think you'd have to be crazy to think that we should go in and win, but we certainly are capable. I picked the Ravens to win it all this year. I think they're incredible. I think what they're doing with Henry and Lamar was brilliant. I don't know how you defend them. I don't know how you stop them. But teams are having a heck of a hard time stopping us too. So, maybe it's going to be one of those Bengals situations where we're just going boom, 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 everybody scoring. and, you know, hopefully you're on the right side of it. So I don't know. I mean, I guess I think it's maybe a lot closer than I ever thought it could be to being maybe like a 50-50. Even though the line, I think, is what, six and a half? I think it could go either way, which I'm actually stunned that I'm articulating those words.
You and me both. What an incredible time. Let's see what happens. Chance for 5-1. Yep. EB, thank you, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
see you, pal. Good luck with the new show, man.
Junks.
Yeah, thanks, boss.
Every day here on The Fan, 6 to 10 a.m. You can listen to EB and the boys as they break down the Commanders leading up to and after the game right here on your flagship home for the Nats and the Caps, and more talk about the Commanders than anywhere else. Danny, who is not getting enough credit? What is not getting enough credit for this team's 4-1 start? We have not hit the phones very much today, so I want to open those up right now on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. We'll get into that next right here on The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
With the Commanders 4-1, Jaden Daniels getting lots of praise deservedly. And Washington's offense, number one. Running game, considered elite. There's plenty of flowers being thrown for this team doing something it hadn't done since 2008 through five games. Has a chance to be 5-1 for the first time since 1996. But who's not getting enough credit, and what about this team do you think isn't getting enough credit? That's the question right now on Grant and Danny.
I'll start. These might be a little bit too easy, GP, but I'm going for them anyhow. Number one is Tyler Biadasz, a guy that you've highlighted throughout this show today. And we talked to Will Montgomery earlier. He was great breaking down what he sees from the O-line. But the lack of penalties, the how many times have you seen a free rusher and someone going, oh, I thought you were supposed to block that guy and I was going to block this guy, but oh, we got confused because this guy went this way. They're on the same page.
Especially with the rookie quarterback.
Exactly. Rookie quarterback, three new starters, really four on the offensive line. I mean, give or take, right? At times when you add in the fact that Coleman and Lucas are splitting. But they all of a sudden look like a cohesive group that's played together for a decade. And everyone seems to be on the same page. He's not only, you know, he was brought in to be a stabilizer, not necessarily a Pro Bowler, but that's how he's playing at this point to me. I mean, I'm not grading every center around the league at this stage, but here's what I know. They don't get penalized very much. The holes of the run game are there. Nobody's running unblocked to Jaden Daniels, and the rare times that they leave someone unaccounted for, Daniels goes for 35 around his butt. So give me Tyler Biadasz as an unsung hero.
I think that's a really good one. I'm going to go with, I think special teams in general has mostly been a strength for them and has been very quietly something that, again, not batting 1,000. They had a couple penalties in a game and a kickoff return for a touchdown brought back. But Eckler, last time I checked, was leading the NFL in kick return average. You know, they've done a really good job there. I thought Olamide Zaccheaus this past week as a punt returner was legit great. Routinely 10, 12, 15 yards he was getting on punt returns. Since the first week of the season, a loss and a bad loss, they have not missed an extra point or a field goal. That's huge. Tress Way is kicking bombs. Very rarely punting, but when he has punted, he has been very good. Eckler yesterday, when we had him on the show, accentuated the kickoff coverage unit, which is one of the most physical, you know, thumps at a level that very few around the league do. I think that they've been pretty good on punt coverage. I don't really remember anything being ripped off against Way or the punt team. I'm not going to sit here and say it's a plus, but it's pretty close since week one, I would say. And it's at least, you know, maybe in that B plus, A minus range for the season. And sometimes those hidden yards you never think about. You gain 15, so instead of first and 10 at the 15, it's 30. You know, you don't get a penalty to take you half the distance to the goal and you start your drive at the 29-yard line. Those things add up, and I think that they're going in their favor way more often than they have in the past.
Unsung heroes. You touched on one of the names. I'm gonna do sort of a 3-as-1 here. Olamide Zaccheaus, Luke McCaffrey, Noah Brown, really all at fourth, and Dyami Brown. Now, this is not a statistical production kudos, because you add their numbers together, they equal a wide receiver. That is the way I'm used to doing it, the way the rest of the league does it, right? You got a number one and number two. You get about 30 catches and, you know, 300, 400 yards out of those guys at this point, right? They're not doing it that way. What they are doing is having guys complete their responsibilities. So any given play, you got something different to do. And the blocking. We highlighted this play on Monday. Austin Eckler highlighted it yesterday. On the run that Eckler rips off, where he fumbles, Zaccheaus is out of the play. He carries out a play fake to the opposite side of the field, outruns 15 different people to slide in there and retain possession. Now, Washington wins the game regardless. They were better. That, at worst, would have acted as a great punt, right? Like as an arm punt kind of a thing, except it was via a rip-off run from Eckler. But Zaccheaus hustles his butt down there. Oftentimes you do that and it's thankless. Well, the one time you need to do it, he does it, recovers that fumble. That unselfish receiver play, in terms of blocking and completing assignments and then doing everything you possibly can every play, is part of the reason why they're running it so damn well, especially when they go outside. And those unsung kind of, you know, under-the-radar plays are massive.
Couple guys on defense that I think have been mostly good. I remember a week or two into the season, there was this narrative that Bobby Wagner had lost a step. And he's not as fast as he once was. I think that's probably clear. You're not going to be at his age when you've tackled as many guys and had as many collisions as he has. But I do think Bobby Wagner's played really well as the defense has improved the last couple of weeks. He's got 6 tackles for loss.
Six.
Nobody else on the team has more than 2. That's a boatload. You're talking about, for a Mike linebacker to be on pace for like 25 tackles for loss over the course of a season, it's pretty insane. The other guy I would call out defensively that I haven't heard mentioned basically at all this year, who I think has flashed a ton, is Quan Martin. And he got banged up. We'll have to see what his status is moving forward, what the injury report looks like for him. But Quan Martin, to me, is really settling in as a very solid long-term building block in his role defensively, where he essentially serves now as like a second safety, but really it's just positionless DB football where he covers, he's in the nickel occasionally and dime, he's matching up with somebody, they're playing zone, they bring him down in the box from time to time. I think Quan Martin's been much better maybe than people think so far.
Give me Dorrance Armstrong. Now, this is what he... People, a lot of times when it comes to pass rushers or otherwise, will oftentimes focus on what somebody is not. He is not Von Miller in his prime. He is not Micah Parsons. He is not a guy that we just saw this week who didn't do much, but he's not Myles Garrett. Very few of those guys are. It's a little bit more workmanlike. He's not going to win every time and disrupt a play. You don't always see him coming. You don't always see him constantly beating a tackle, but he's on 11-sack pace. Part of that is because they're playing good team defense. Part of that is they got leads and guys are throwing. Part of that is... You know, just by being around, you'll end up touching the quarterback Dennis Stubblefield style. But 11 sacks is 11 sacks. You know what I mean? That's not something that happens all the time around here. So, it's not always the flash play, the sack fumble, the game changer type stuff. But Whisper Quiet is on pace for an 11-sack season.
Who or what is not getting enough credit for the Commanders' 4-1 start to the season? Let's go to Lorton where Bill is. What's up, buddy? How are you?
How you doing, Grant? Hey, funny Danny.
Hey, buddy.
I got, other than sensational Jaden Daniels, I got the offensive line with the job they're doing running the ball and protecting Jaden, and Kingsbury doing a heck of a job that's not getting all that much praise.
Appreciate you. Is it possible to say Cliff Kingsbury is being underappreciated?
Yes.
Because we've been throwing Kingsbury parties, it feels like, every Monday. But I do think nationally, you do not hear that to the same extent. You hear Jaden Daniels, and I'm not suggesting he's not the biggest piece to the puzzle. But Cliff Kingsbury is making life easier on Daniels, just like Daniels helping Cliff Kingsbury.
I got two sneaky names that relate to what the caller just brought up. How about Bobby Johnson? The only name among this coaching staff that's being assembled over the summertime where, when the coaching turnover happened, I guess in the spring, where people are going, really? Bobby Johnson from the Giants? Where they can't block anybody, that offensive line's been pretty damn good. And we sort of forgot that was the dude, a little bit maligned, has come in there and got a group going really well. And also to Kingsbury as it relates, how about Anthony Lynn in terms of a running game guy? Anthony Lynn as a head coach, I think left something to be desired. Anthony Lynn maybe is an overall offensive mind, incorporating passing concepts. As a guy that understands running games and points of attack, combining that with Kingsbury's sort of horizontal raid, you got something pretty effective going on.
Well, Eckler told us in the offseason that one of the main reasons he decided to sign with Washington was to reunite
with Anthony Lynn.
So even if since the season started, he hasn't been overly as involved, which is not the case, that in and of itself to me is a gigantic victory. To have added Eckler has been one of their best, most explosive, unique pieces that they've got offensively. But yeah, he also is helping to design that running game. I mean, you could throw a lot of praise in that regard on any of the offensive coaches, probably. Like, you're right about Bobby Johnson. I remember thinking that made no sense, and why on earth are they intrigued by this guy? But they kept Tavita Pritchard around as their quarterback's coach. I would say that's gone pretty well. They brought in Brian Johnson, who was the OC and play caller for the Eagles, who in Philly they ran out of town last year to be their pass game coordinator. I would say for the most part that's gone pretty well in terms of what you'd imagine is his purview. We've talked about Kingsbury, but I'm not sure exactly what the role is for David Blough, who's the assistant quarterback's coach. But I would say so far, so good for him. I mean, if you were on that side of the ball leading meetings...
You put that on your resume with a big asterisk. A big star. Yeah.
Most points. I mean, this is the offense nobody wants to play right now. Trues in Graysonville. Who's not getting enough credit for the 4-1 start?
Well, I think we missed the obvious Martin Mayhew. But I'll put that aside.
Oh, good point.
Thank you.
Martin Mayhew is a good answer.
He's here, still here.
You know who else?
But
Marty Herney.
Marty Herney, everybody.
Still on the payroll.
Marty Party. Oh.
But not all joking aside, I think the coaches in general aren't getting enough credit because the team is playing better than the sum of its parts. We're getting more out of the 53 than the individual players. Jaden aside, there was that play that Eckler ran 30 yards, but then fumbled, and then you know, OZ was there to recover that fumble, and he came from the other side of the field, and he just kept going.
Yeah, right? That's a coaching past, thing. You're right. That's a hustle thing. So, that's based on basically taking over the identity that's preached all week, yeah?
Right. So that's I think that has as much to do with our win streak as anything else, and I can't wait to go in there and put it to Baltimore.
Thanks, buddy. It's not just Zacchaeus, by the way. That is kind of what they do. Watch Johnny Newton chase plays down from D-tackle. Watch the hustle and the in-play grind, but the ability of Allegretti, because he was trying to get there to help out, grabbing a fumble of Zach Ertz in the Cincinnati game that saved their bacon. They would have lost that game, by the way. That would have been a loss if Allegretti's not there to make a pretty athletic scoop. But doing the same thing basically Zacchaeus was doing, which is just the thing that no one's ever going to notice, but it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
And it is clearly something that in this locker room isn't just one guy doing it. It's the expectation. It's the norm. You could say that that's coaching, which I think it is. I also think it's picking players that come in here that do things the right way. And that's an Adam Peters. That's a Lance Newmark, who we haven't mentioned. You know, that old front office, that idea of, he's a commander. We're giving him the commander tag, the label, the sticker, whatever it was. Like, he does things the way we want him done. I think that's what they were talking about.
Absolutely. And, I mean, it's easy to say. Too. It's easy to say, we'll fight the ball. We'll hustle. We'll do it every play. And then, come on, not every time. They're doing it every time.
They're 4-1. We're having a party for the same few guys, it seems like, every day, and they deserve it. But who else should get some shine here for an amazing start? That's the question on Grant and Danny. Steve Mariucci is going to be on the show, the former NFL head coach, in about an hour and 20 minutes at 6 right here on The Fan. Taking you up to 6:30 on this Wednesday, Grant and Danny on The Fan. Steve Mariucci joins the show in about an hour and 15 minutes. He of NFL Network fame, the former head coach in the National Football League. Looking forward to catching up with him. The Commanders, when they started the year, by the way, expected to win 6.5 games, according to the odds makers. Now, Danny, 9.5 wins, up 3 already.
And it's hard to say even, okay, so they're going to go 5-7 the rest of the way? Like, is that what this feels like? I mean, again, the bottom could fall out anytime. The league could figure you out. Whatever. I mean, a million things happens. Guys, teams have gotten off to great starts. Look at Cliff Kingsbury's Arizona Cardinals a couple years ago, where they were the talk of the league and basically, you know, limped into the wild card round where they got boat raced. I mean, stuff happens, right? The Eagles last year collapsed. I guess I'm just saying the way that they're building, because each week, it's almost more impressive, right? Cleveland, again, I keep going back to this. I tweeted this out. I meant Funny Danny Grant at Greenwich Paulson. I thought Cleveland's defense was good. I don't mean like I thought they were good, losers. No, I thought Cleveland's defense this past Sunday was impressive. Attacking, downhill, tackles for loss, disruptive. And Washington still scored 24 points in the first half. They turned Washington over, had multiple opportunities of turnovers. And again, Washington, had they felt like it, could have scored 50 points in that game. Each week is a build on something else that we've already seen. It's great.
I thought the first couple drives, they were pretty good. After that, I didn't see the same production, but you start chasing the game a little bit, and Daniels made some off-schedule plays that made life really difficult. The question for you guys is, who's not getting enough credit for the 4-1 Commanders at this point? Our buddy Tailgate Ted said, how about Ron Rivera? Let's give him some credit. If it wasn't such a disaster last year, maybe they wouldn't have been in such a good position in the draft, where you take Daniels, rest of their picks early in rounds. Of course, because it was so bad so quickly last season, he didn't say this, but I'll add to this. The ownership group basically brought in Eugene Shen, did a little research on the upcoming trade deadline and said, Ron, we're going to go ahead and trade your defensive end. So just
buckle up, Buttercup.
Just so you know, you're going to be coaching Casey Tuhill the rest of the way. And they went and got draft picks and loaded up so that they could be more appetizing and appealing to the front office executives that we're going to be interviewing with them.
You got to send me my ring, you really do.
Which, along those lines, this ownership group I don't think is getting enough credit.
There you go.
Because you don't see it 1-4 on Sunday, but the difference is massive.
Mm-hmm.
The only tangible thing I'd say, the legitimate, like, oh, that definitely helped them on the field as a direct connection that we could see, was when they stayed out west against the Cardinals, and you just shelled out a bunch of money, so they got some more sleep and some more rest and some more guys healed faster, and you didn't have to go back and forth traveling the way that matters so much. That was a very tangible thing. The rest of the stuff, we don't really...
Yeah, it's unsexy. I mean, when you go to the park, you can see the field that was never fixed, that's been fixed
now.
But
even that's like an indirect, did it help?
Yeah, but that's hidden,
not help?
Right.
You know, does that mean you're going to win a game because you got to practice an extra day on a better field? I don't know.
There were a billion complaints during Snyder time, and you had to go down a long list to get to this one. But this was always one of my themes of that group. If you couldn't see it, they weren't spending on it, right? If it wasn't something that he could parade around and go, look at my trophy. Look at the fact that I just spent $100 million on Albert Haynesworth. Look at what I just did. Look what I just did. When you didn't see it tangibly, they weren't going to spend on it. The bad facility, they wouldn't get Carlos Rogers' eyes checked. I mean, at least that was the urban legend. Stuff like that, it was never, if it wasn't sexy, they weren't going to shell out the dough for it. And that's, you know, what loser organizations do.
Bobby's in Lovettsville on Grant and Danny. What's up, Bobby? How are you?
What's up, boys? Doing great. Thank you. Thanks for the great show and my ride home every day.
Got it, bro.
Thank you.
So, absolutely. So I've actually got two. A quick one, Mathis. I'm glad he finally had a good game. He looked wonderful against Cleveland. But my main call is Luke McCaffrey. I know he doesn't have the production yet, but his blocking is so good, and he's been open a lot. So his route running must be really good. And the fans are so ready for him. Every time he touches the ball, Luke, you know, it's so awesome. So I'm excited for him. And finally, I want to give a shout-out to Pat Fisher. Rest in peace. One of the greatest cornerbacks ever to play for the Redskins.
Yeah, one of the hardest hitters in team history. We were talking about him on the show yesterday, but if you're my age or Danny's age, about a 10-year gap, he was your parents' favorite player.
Yeah.
You know, he was that kind of guy defensively. So, well said. On Luke McCaffrey, I will stamp everything you just said with approval, man. Verbal retweet. He is so willing and so physical as a blocker. He is just such an unselfish guy. He does all that dirty work. We were trying to find a comp. Cleary yesterday or a couple days ago was like, who do you comp him to? And I was like, you know, as a receiver, I think there's a lot more in the tank that we haven't seen. But in terms of the style he brings and the physicality and his willingness, like Hines Ward almost. Now, he was a great receiver, fringe Hall of Famer. I don't know that he'll ever be that. We'll see. But he was also a great blocker.
Mm-hmm.
And like, Luke McCaffrey is just willing. What do you want me to do, coach? The guy was a quarterback, then he was a wide receiver. He took some snaps in training camp at running back. He could do whatever. He's an athlete. I love Luke McCaffrey. He will be on the show tomorrow at 4 o'clock, by the way.
Yeah, I'm a Luke McCaffrey guy. I don't know what the ceiling is as a receiver. I don't.
I think there's a ton in the tank. I think it's a massively high ceiling. He's been
what,
a receiver.
What does that look like, just out of curiosity? Let's play that out.
I think he could be like it. It depends what their offense is. If this is their offense moving forward forever, I don't think any receiver is ever really going to be great because – you know, look at the Ravens as an example.
It's a little more point guard than it is speed.
A lot of the scrambles that we love should have been throws or could have been throws, right? A lot of the big gains are going to come from tight ends and running backs in the screen game or whatever. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll say this. Yeah. I think if he was like on the Rams.
There you go. I was going to say, do the futile exercise in your league average offense. What is it?
If like with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, like I think there's years where he could go catch 60 balls for, you know, 700 yards, or he could be a 70-catch, 1,000-yard guy in the right situation. Eventually. I don't think he's there yet. I know that he runs good routes. I know that he gets wide open. He's got an incredible feel against zone to just throttle it down. I bet on bloodlines, the McCaffrey thing. His dad was a Hall of Fame-type tight end, wide receiver, rather. His brother is a Hall of Fame running back. I believe in the player. I think there's a huge ceiling there. He's been a receiver for like 3 hours.
That's the other point, too, yeah.
He's pretty good on the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the thing that I like early is the physicality part, right, where he's a willing and engaging blocker. He's helpful in that regard. And we haven't seen kind of that downfield, let's go get it. I don't know that we're going to, just because that may not be his role at this point, but that intermediate to short, he is thriving, as you kind of pointed out there, a lot of middle of the field type stuff, which is essential to keep people honest.
Bill Belichick was on TV yesterday. He was asked how he would defend Jaden Daniels. I think you guys are really, really going to want to hear this. Also, I've got something pickleball related to tell Danny about that is pretty wacky. That's next on G&D on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!